We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin, Rachel Scanlon, Worldwide Dykes for Life. Hey, two dykes, two dykes, two dykes, one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. Yeah, two dykes, two dykes.
So you started a brand new Instagram called
Fatties Only Fitness. And I realize that this sounds like a plug.
Yeah.
But no, honestly,
I set you up for it.
Yes. I'll have you know, I don't quite know what this is other than half joke, half me just 100% working out.
Yeah. I think you're giving inspiration to people everywhere.
I think for me, my regular feed, mm-hmm. like my own Instagram, got too fitness heavy. And
it
there was absolutely no
other content.
There was nothing else. And I was like, I don't even feel like a comedian anymore. So I'm
well,
going to put it. And you know what? No one is.
No one is, really.
Except for Taylor Swift. Yeah. That bitch is a clown. She's always clowning about her sexuality, her boyfriend, tall, handsome, etc. Lies. Very funny. When she's like, oh my God, my boyfriend. I'm like, you're so funny. Who is your agent? I would love to book you for colleges because you would make an auditorium full of people laugh at your sexuality. And that's what college is all about. Laughing at other people's sexuality.
Okay. So you have started Fatties Only Fitness.
As a joke with my sister.
Okay.
Because I'm like taking my, you know, CPT certification classes.
Yeah.
And I'm joking with my family that I'm going to start Fatties Only Fitness. Cut to, God, it would be easier to put all of my workout content on Fatties Only Fitness. And now it is funnier than my actual page.
It is. I followed you at Fatties Only Fitness.
Yeah.
And immediately started laughing at one of your
posts.
One of your posts, which said, what was it?
Oh, about my BMI?
Yeah.
I think it's read in this type of tone.
Okay, go ahead.
Fun fact, my BMI states that I'm clinically obese. However, I'm actually very fit. And that's kind of like the tone of it. Yeah. We're having fun.
It's very fun. It's very fun.
Thank you. I just love to, all I want to do on Fatties Only Fitness is number one, inspire. Number two, be fat and fit, which I am every day. And number three, let the world know that sure, I'm technically obese, but I can also climb a mountain. And I'm going to do it proudly, because there's a fatty in all of us. If you've ever identified as a woman at any point in your life,
you've also identified as fat
because we are conditioned
to
because
always
it
think
also
that.
Makes money for people if we feel like we're fat.
Yeah, because then we work out or we buy those bullshit like detox pills and powders and all that shit.
The more we hate ourselves, the more we contribute to capitalism. So I
make up
capitalism on that.
Yeah.
Capitalism on that. That's what I meant.
You're gonna capitalize on it.
I'm gonna capitalize on it. And I do.
Now, is it only for fat people? Because it's called Fatties Only Fitness.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one on Fatties Only Fitness, and I'm a fatty, and I'm fit. So it's for me.
It's only for you.
I'm the only member of Fatties Only Fitness.
Okay. So it's actually not like anything that people can subscribe to. It's just.
No, it's just if you want to watch a fatty be fit, which is me, then you would follow Fatties Only Fitness. Also, I would argue that there's a fatty in all of us. Being fat is a state of mind.
Your business plan is awful.
It's not a business plan.
It's so bad.
It's a way of life, baby. This isn't for money.
I know, but it's really funny.
It's very fun. And I also, I'm putting my actual workouts that I do every day there. So you're going to see me going to work out on the roof, mm-hmm. and then you're going to see me Peloton.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see me go on a hike and then a run.
You have lost a lot of weight.
You've lost 50 pounds, but so I'm still fat.
But so this can be, people can look at this and be like, oh, I'm going to do what Rachel does and I will lose weight.
Possibly. But I, you know what I should also post is what I'm eating.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. I tried protein powder today and boy, are my arms tired. It was fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think anyone, here's the thing. No one can do what I do because no one's ever been as fit as I am.
True.
I don't think you could do what I do.
I don't. I cannot.
I know.
I've seen your workouts and I say, I would rather not.
Right. And it's basically like, here's the thing. We've been conditioned to see in a mirror, regardless of size.
Yeah.
Flaws.
Yes.
And I would fully like to run directly into all of those flaws with wide open arms.
I
love
that.
And say, guess what? let's move our beautiful, flawed bodies as often as we can. Mm-hmm. And I would like to show off more of it.
Yeah.
More skin.
Okay.
More sweat.
Okay.
More fat.
I'm here for all of these.
More fitness.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm here. I follow it. I'm all on board.
This does sound like a plug. I wasn't planning on plugging this.
Well, you're plugging literally nothing because you're not selling anything.
There is nothing to be gained from it.
Yeah.
You're just having fun. A dumping pile for all of the activities that I do in a day.
I'm here for it.
For her pleasure.
Now, you were telling me a story earlier about Jillian Michaels. Would you like to...
Oh, I would love to... Okay, so you know I used to work for that digital media company.
Of course, full screen. What, are they going to sue me?
Again? Oh my God, I am scared of their lawyers. They're very hot.
Yeah.
I'm at work.
Yeah.
And we used to have to do like videos with certain celebrities that were either plugging something or wanted to get more in touch with like younger fans.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And Jillian Michaels came in.
Okay.
And I still stand by this theory that every lesbian goes through a phase.
Where,
Jillian Michaels phase, where they 100%. They drink protein powder. They're in the gym all the time. They're just like counting their micros and macros.
Yeah.
And no, I don't know what that is.
I didn't know what it meant, but
cool.
I went with it.
Thank you. You're a good friend.
Yeah.
Will you put your feet back over mine?
You were playing footsie and I put it way up here.
I wasn't playing footsie. I'm cold. Warm me up. Thank you. Well, I don't want a blanket. I want your pure, unadulterated body heat.
All right. So Jillian Michaels comes
in. Jillian Michaels comes in. We're filming a video together. I'm like doing a light interview, you know, where like there's a camera on you, but you're not like sitting down, like asking direct questions. You're just kind of like shooting this shit. Okay. Whatever. I ask her about whatever she wants to plug and talk about, which is like nutrition.
Yeah.
And she's mostly plant-based, talking about the benefits of eating like vegetables and fruits and things that are like fresh and grown that don't come out of like a box or a package.
Healthy stuff.
Healthy shit.
Yeah.
And I said to her face, I don't trust vegetables because they live in dirt.
That's so stupid.
And this exists somewhere on the internet.
I cannot believe
that. You can see me probably still drunk from the morning.
Yeah.
And full of like cheeses, 50 pounds heavier, looking at Jillian Michaels screaming about how vegetables are disgusting.
I can't believe that was you.
Yeah.
And do you stand by that statement or now you're like a full 180?
Well, I'm like, I'm not a full 180 because I do, but I have been vegan now for a month.
Yeah.
And there are vegetables that I think slap. Here's a list of vegetables that slap that bok no choy. One's talking about. Bok choy.
Bok choy slaps.
Bok choy slaps. Have you ever had just like a bell pepper?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I cut your bell peppers the other night.
I see. And that's what I needed somebody to cut them for me because I have trypophobia. I'm scared of the inside of bell peppers.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize the outside is delicious.
Yeah, it's great.
I could eat them like an apple.
Girl.
If you took the seeds out for me because of my trypophobia. Yeah, there are some definite slappers. Jicama, come on.
Let's get into it.
Wait.
Welcome to Two Dykes and a Mic. I am your host, Mackenzie Goodwin. Today on the podcast, we have a guest. Her name is Rachel Scantron. Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
Oh my God. Hi. It's me.
I know you from, there's this internet video sweeping the world. It's a Jillian Michaels interview you were interviewing her.
Yes.
This is almost like an inception. Mm-hmm. You interviewed her. Now I'm interviewing you.
Mm-hmm.
How did it come about?
You know what would be fascinating to me? Let's say it's been 5 years since I did that video.
Yeah.
And I have essentially transformed into
Jillian Michaels.
What if we looked at her Instagram right now
and she
was a fat ginger doing stand up online, just like, oh, vegetables. No, thank you. And we had somehow like Freaky Friday'd with each other.
I would love to watch you and Jillian Michaels Freaky Friday. Well, anyways, welcome to the podcast.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Mackenzie.
And if this is your first time listening, I want you to know that there are a few things that you need to do. Number one, you can leave us an Apple review. And if it turns me on in the slightest, I will print it out, tape it to my bed frame and read it out loud during and after sex with my partner.
I love that.
Number two.
Yeah.
We are on Patreon. If you are listening and you're thinking to yourselves, man, those lesbians, one of them sounds very sexy and the other one sounds not. Find out if you're right by going to our Patreon. We are doing video versions of this podcast where we answer questions and we do live reactions to voice recordings. It's very fun. Number three, and definitely the most important, We're dating. Mackenzie and I are a real live lesbian couple, and people have been saying, no, they're not. Oh my God, Rachel just wants it so bad, and Mackenzie's never gonna give it to her. They're wrong. It finally happened. Last night, Mackenzie bent over and gave it to me. And that's all you need to know. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
You couldn't even finish it without laughing.
I pictured you bending over and giving it to me. I honestly, if you, first of all, there's almost nothing that you could do that would make me believe that you were earnestly coming on to me. Like at this point, even if you were fully naked and you said, I swear to God, this isn't a joke, please fuck me. I would laugh so hard. Where the fuck are the cameras? Yeah, there's nothing you could do to make me ever believe that you were sexually advancing on me in an earnest way ever. But if you did, my reaction to it at this point in our friendship and businesshood, I would absolutely be destroyed. Like, so, I would laugh so hard and be so uncomfortable that I'd be like, now you want to do this.
Now.
Now that I'm sober as a judge, you want to fully, like, have me have sex with you.
Sober and we're so deep into relationships with other people.
Like, we couldn't be less off the market. We couldn't be more off the market.
I know. It is very funny to see people on TikTok. Yes, we're on TikTok.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry.
But people are like, can you believe they're not together? They're not a couple?
And this, here's the thing. I don't know how they know from TikTok, because in TikToks we do sketches where we play romantic partners.
Yeah.
So how do they know we're not together? Number one.
Probably go hashtag not together, hashtag together. Hashtag, are we?
On TikTok, I want it to be this big. I want everyone to always be like, they're not? Yeah. Wait, what? That's what I want. That's the only thing I've ever wanted. I have no other notes.
How about this? Let's start this week with a queer of the week.
Great.
And then we have two Ask a Dykes and a Bumble Fumble.
Fantastic.
God, we are just crushing it.
We're crushing it. And if you have questions that you want us to address or, you know, Bumble Fumbles, any crazy stories, you can email them to us or you can voice record yourself and we will do it on After Dark.
Yeah.
And make sure you put if you want us to use your name or not, because I will assume the worst. Yeah. How hot are... It's irrelevant, but what? our the people interacting with us have been getting...
They're great. I love being able to see people on Patreon.
I love when they send pictures because I just really want to see like who we're talking to.
Yeah, same.
And it's just nice to see other gay people. We don't get to see other gay people. The only gay people I see are you.
Yeah. Give me that queer of the week.
Here we go. Okay, queer of the week. Hi, Dykes. First, I would like to say that my wife introduced me to your podcast about a month ago. Game changer.
Love that.
You two are awesome and so easy to listen to. My drives to work are so much better listening to you guys. I would like to nominate my wife, Tessa, for queer of the week. She's so damn funny, beautiful, compassionate, and just all around a fucking 10.
I love that.
She's my BFF, lover, best fur baby mom ever, and a bomb-ass baker. Mm-hmm. We've been together for 4 years and married for 1.5. We met 2 years ago. We met years ago on a double date with other people. Fast forward to the world aligning, and now here we are. With the news of the election results today, she's on a super high. So let's keep the good times rolling by making her queer of the week. Have a great day, Tara.
Aww.
Okay, here's the pictures of them. They're so fucking hot.
Adorable.
I'm into these light pink salmon-y pants.
Yeah.
I'm aroused as always.
You are constantly aroused.
It is honestly annoying. I can't wear leggings.
Yeah.
Because it's it's too much sensitivity. And do you know how comfortable leggings are? And for how much I work out, just to not wear leggings, I work out in denim. Wait, I have to work out in denim.
You do not work out in leggings because of how aroused you get?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. You know what? I'll fucking soak right through them. Do you know how many pairs of leggings I have to wear at once? Several. Several.
Don't touch me. Sorry, when you say
I'm
that.
On one. I think because you made yourself an espresso and now I'm feeling it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
How close we are connected.
I can drink it and you feel it.
Yeah. Look how red my cheeks are.
I know. You're turned on.
Yeah. Yeah. They sent pictures. Yeah, I'm turned on.
All right. I got
you ever? Yeah. You're going to hate this.
What?
And you have to answer truthfully because this is all we fucking have.
Okay.
All I have is this podcast.
Ask me.
Have you ever masturbated in front of your partner? This is a two-part question.
No. Not no.
What made you change your answer?
Because it wasn't like when you said in front of your partner, no. I assumed like my partner was on the other side of the room making direct eye contact.
And tell me why the fuck you would picture that.
I don't know. I assumed it was like in a weird way. And then I was like, Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like in...
In the boudoir, yes.
As foreplay.
As, yeah, or in the middle of it.
Okay, five play.
Yeah.
Play.
Okay, what's the second part of the question?
Have you masturbated to completion in front of your partner?
No.
Fascinating. What about when she was asleep?
No, I've never done that because when you told me that you did that, I thought it was weird.
Interesting.
I think it's too creepy. I want my partner to be involved in every aspect of it.
Okay.
That's all I already know the answer to yours.
Well, we've talked about
this. But for the new listeners.
Oh, sure.
New listeners who haven't gone back to this episode.
I one time, while my partner was sleeping, masturbated to completion next to her without her being. Without waking her up. And I felt like it was such a beautiful part in our relationship because I'm like, I'm really arrived.
And when she woke up, she was pumped about it.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had woken up next to you and you told me that, I would be upset. And rightfully so.
If your girlfriend who you're dating and in love with and your sexual partner was like,
yeah, so I'd be okay with that.
It was an erotic moment for us.
I think the part where I could never do that is because my partner not only talks in her sleep sometimes, but like makes crazy noises.
Oh, fascinating.
So that would probably, it wouldn't happen. I wouldn't be able to.
It's not like.
I'd be too scared. I feel like I would get jumpy because I would hear her.
Oh my God. Fascinating. Jumpy. She rolls over and you're like, sorry. And I did come. So happy queer of the week to you, Tessa. And also congrats on your beautiful marriage. I love you guys. I'm in love with you guys.
All right, Rhea, I've got an ask a dyke for you. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, dykes. Y'all are hilarious, and I am forever seeking out your insights, especially after I watched A New York Christmas Wedding and loved it. Yikes, that's on me. But to be fair, I had just finished watching The Happiest Season, which was trash, and needed something semi-positive. LOL.
LOL.
A longtime girlfriend and I have been together through a lot of changes in both our gender expressions.
I love this.
We have both grown out our pits and don't shave our legs, but recently I've noticed that she stopped shaving her pubes. Normally I would say, do whatever the fuck you want down there, but it's starting to really fuck up my ability to fuck, which really fucking sucks. I can't go down on her without gagging, so I have only offered toys to her, and I hate that I can't please her how I want to. But I'm not about to tell someone what to do with their body for my comfort because I'd be pissed if she had did that to me.
Wow.
So I'm not even sure she has noticed how disconnected I feel from her during sex, but I would hate for her to feel embarrassed that I feel this way because of her body. How would you two start that conversation? Thanks in advance. Y'all are the best.
This is so fucking fascinating to me. And I love, like, right off the bat that your instincts are, I would never want to tell my partner what to do with their body because I would never want that. I never want them to be embarrassed. All of this stuff, you're on such a...
Correct instinct.
Exactly. Yeah. But it does come down to, we got an issue here.
Yeah.
And this is fascinating. What would you say? What would you do?
Oh, man, it's tough. I think how do you say this without hurting their feelings?
I do think that this is also like... So when it comes to body hair, I think always you should be doing whatever you want to do.
Whatever feels comfortable.
Exactly. Whatever that may be. But I think for this particular situation, this isn't a matter of you saying, like, obviously, you don't want any hair.
Yeah.
I think this is more of, like, I love how, like, you want to express yourself is always the most sexy to me.
Yeah.
But I would say that it's a logistical thing of, like, trimming so that there
Escape
is...
Escape it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can still have, like, full hair and have it be at a length that you are still, like, presenting as having full body hair, but logistically it is easier for like fucking.
Yeah.
And I think it would go, I think the best way to have this conversation is to keep it as light as possible where, you know, you're reiterating what you already know, which is full support, only want, like, I would try to keep it as light as possible because you don't want it to go into territory of I'm telling you what to do with your body or you don't want your partner to be thinking about that during sex.
Yeah, exactly.
So the less that you can make this like this big, daunting, weird thing, the easier. So I would do it pretty much maybe like not in the bedroom, but like lightly, you know, like, oh, I would keep it as quick and easy as possible.
I think the best point to do it actually would be after sex and to be like, hey, next time we do this, I want to be able to like go down on you. do you think you could just like trim them a little bit?
Yeah.
It is. It's a very touchy subject.
I know. And I think it's interesting that you, this person who wrote in mentioned, like, I don't think they noticed that I haven't felt as connected. Mm-hmm. So maybe start with the place of like, I really feel super connected to you when I get to like go full like
inside you. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I'm so into how you've been changing the expression with your like body hair. And I fully am on board with that
yeah.
journey, but I would love to be like full face in ya. Yeah. So let's in like light, you know what I mean?
And logistically it is hard when there is a lot of body hair down there
mm-hmm.
to find stuff.
Sure.
To get in there.
Yeah. You got to bring a flashlight.
And to not lose hairs that get into your mouth.
Fascinating.
Because
yeah.
that can be gross. I know what she means, like gagging. Like you don't want to feel a hair loose in your mouth while you're going down on somebody.
Yeah. You don't want to lose hair.
No. Mm-hmm. That's fucking gross.
Yeah.
So I totally understand where she's coming from. But I do. Yeah. This is interesting.
Yeah.
This is
I think it would just be brought up as a matter of like logistics.
Yeah.
And that I wouldn't even do this like double backpedaling of like, I just don't want you to be embarrassed, or I don't want this to be like, don't make it a big deal.
Well, and don't even say embarrassed.
Exactly.
Because it's nothing to be embarrassed
about.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A light matter of logistics.
And spin it in the way that like, I can't wait to go down on you. It's
yes.
one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Almost more of like, this is something that I enjoy.
Yes.
Could you do this for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cute. I like that.
Yeah.
Like, this is a treat for me.
Yeah.
And almost like I miss seeing my best friend.
That's great.
You know what I mean? Something
like
silly and light like that to keep it so that it doesn't have to be this big thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to go about it. Are you ready for another edition of Boomble Fumble?
I love Bumble Fumbles.
Me too. God. I think they're my favorite.
They might be my favorite.
And I really like Ask a Dykes.
I do miss me having Bumble Fumbles though.
You had so many.
I do and I don't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like they were funny in hindsight, but I would say I might be one of the worst daters of all time.
It's fascinating because you're very hot.
Thank you. I'll take the compliment.
It wasn't really a compliment.
It felt like it to me. So why don't you read that Bumble Fumble?
Dude, I love you.
Love you.
Bumble Fumble. Here we go. Ghosted, ghosted, ghosted. Sarah, Sarah, Sarah. Ha ha. I got ghosted 3 times in a row by a woman named Sarah.
3 times by the same Sarah?
Hold on. I don't know. I'm just like,
we gotta
find out. That the people who write into us are so, they're poetic, they're funny, they're playful. They're like good writers.
They're all good writers.
It's fascinating. Cool. Cause queer people are
talented.
Yeah. Okay. Can I hit it from the top?
Yeah.
Ghosted, ghosted, ghosted. Sarah, Sarah, Sarah. I got ghosted 3 times in a row by a woman named Sarah. All mid conversation after several days or weeks of chatting. Hi, I'm Deanna. Here's the thing. It's not a juicy fumble, but it's a consistent one, and I think it needs more discussion in the community. I appreciate that you talk about relevant topics, and I think it's impactful for those listening. It's always been me. It has always been for me, anyways. A few episodes ago, a listener who wrote that women can be assholes too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, that situation has had a class 1 clinger. Okay, so, but the acceptance of ghosting in the dating community is concerning. Being ghosted sucks. It's painful. It makes you question everything you've put out there, discussed, being vulnerable about, etc. As women, we need to pull together and be better than that. As adults, we should be more empathetic to people we meet and dating. It takes very little time and effort to be open and honest with somebody that you're no longer interested in, and you owe that to someone. Whether you've been dating for a few weeks or chatting on an app for a few days, I'm telling you that it's soul-crushing, regardless of the timeline, to be ghosted. So be decent, compassionate human beings, and send a quick text. You can even have a scripted text that you use for every girl you lose interest in. But it's better than being an asshole ghoster who leaves women questioning whether every little thing that went down between you was too much. Spooky season is now over, so we should really keep up with the times and put ghosting to bed once and for all. Thanks for considering this bum foam. I hope you so consider opening the conversation about about the ghosting culture,
mm-hmm.
sucking the life out of hopeless romantics trying to find love during an otherwise very shitty and complex time.
There's a lot in there I agree with. There are some things that I disagree with,
okay,
though.
Tell me.
Number one, I don't think that if you are texting somebody on an app that you owe them anything.
Fascinating.
I've never thought that. But that being said, it is courteous and nice to let somebody know if you are not interested.
Mm-hmm.
That I do agree with.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think by any means that I'm not going to say people deserve to know where you're at.
What level do you think you deserve a, let's call it the...
I think after one date, if you meet them in person...
If you meet them in person.
Yeah, then absolutely say something. Mm-hmm. But if you don't meet them in person, I don't think that they don't... You don't owe them anything. Mm-hmm. Even if you go on a date with them, you don't owe them anything. It's courteous to do that.
If you're following the two dykes and a mic technique on online dating, which we do have an episode about, which includes not chatting excessively on a date before you meet.
Yeah.
Then you don't owe anyone anything. If you haven't met them and you stop texting, mm-hmm. just assume I'm dead and move on.
Yeah.
However, mm-hmm. now with the pandemic and people not being able to meet up as often.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more meeting and building trust and before meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're actually talking more. Do you still stand by that? Like for example, if you're chatting with somebody on an app for weeks, you've discussed family, you've discussed how you think about people, you have been flirting, maybe you've been sexting and you've been chatting for like 2 to 3 weeks.
Do I like it? No. But do I think
they still
owe you something? No, I don't. Mm-hmm.
See, I think that at that point, if you've talked about like, if you've almost like created a routine of mm-hmm. like having to be talking with this person and then all of a sudden they're gone, I think it can be jarring.
It is. Absolutely. It's jarring and it hurts mm-hmm. and it sucks, but ghosting has been around since the dawn of time.
Yeah. So you're saying it's almost like you should brace yourself on how to protect yourself from being ghosted rather than we're never going to solve the issue of ghosting.
We're never going to solve it. It is inherent in human dating.
Yeah.
I fully believe this, but I think that you should go in with lower expectations mm-hmm. of where this is going to go until you're on a date mm-hmm. or until you start actually dating somebody.
Yeah. And if you make it to a date and then they ghost you, then they're rude, but just keep in mind, ghosting is also a way of that person to send a message. It's not a mature, grown-up, great way to do it.
No.
But they're telling you.
You dodged a bullet if you got ghosted.
Exactly.
Because that person is not ready to date you.
Yeah.
Because they're not open with their feelings and communicative.
They're liars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went through that one Patreon episode that we went through our old texts, our breakup texts. Mm-hmm. You and I both had been ghosted and had ghosted people.
Yeah.
And so I do think, I find it to be very...
It's a technique used by people. Yeah. And it is just like, it shows you that you're not on the same page with somebody.
Exactly.
I think it is it's hurtful.
Yeah.
But it is unfortunately inevitable. And I do think that like we should be better than this in the queer community. But the truth of the matter is that we're really not, because people on apps especially, like, you can lose interest so quickly. I can wake up one day after texting somebody for a full 7 days straight and be like, actually, no.
Yeah, because you haven't met up with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you and I always say, meet up with people after a couple messages.
Totally.
Don't get invested in people via the internet or your phone. Meet them in person.
And if you do get ghosted, I think it is... never a reflection of you. It's never a reflection of you saying too much, doing the wrong thing, getting to, like, this has nothing to do with you at all. This person who's ghosted is not ready to meet you where you're at. So I would say, like, this is less so, like, obviously, here's a PSA. If you're talking to somebody regularly and if you've met up with somebody and you've been chatting somebody up, and you to change your mind, let them fucking know. Like, we're grownups. You should let somebody know so that they're not just sitting there wondering. That being said, realistically, ghosting is going to happen. And you should never hold yourself accountable for somebody else's shitty behavior.
Agreed.
So if somebody has like dropped off completely and have been left you in the dust, you can just say, guess what? That person's an asshole. And I'm better than them. And then move forward. You don't have to go back and think, what did I say? What did I do? I know it's human nature and inevitable, but try to just know that that is saying a lot more about where they're at than where you are. And just keep fucking, you know, planting your seed.
See, I agree with you in a lot of senses, but thinking back when I ghosted people, because I did, absolutely, I think that it just shows that that person is immature. I don't think it's like they're an asshole. I think they're acting immature and they're doing things that are hurtful, mm-hmm. but I don't think it means that these people are inherently bad.
I don't think being an asshole makes you inherently bad, but I think it's an asshole move to do.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cause okay. I didn't, if you would have asked me when we first started this podcast, I would have told you to your face and believed it that like, I never ghosted people. And I was like a communicative, like compassionate dater. And when I looked through our texts on that Patreon episode,
you'd done it
I
too.
Realized that I was absolutely like being super flaky and like, and I was being an asshole though. Yeah. I'm not a bad person. I'm like a good person, but I was acting like an asshole and I didn't even realize it.
See, when I was doing it, I was in a different place mentally. I was not prepared to date anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to people to get attention.
Yeah.
And same. I think that, it's an immaturity thing. So it's like, you can tell people to grow up, but it's just going to take time. Mm-hmm. Ghosting's always going to be a thing.
I was also, I was doing it. I would sometimes just out of boredom. Yeah. So that would lead me to being like,
because it's so easy to get on an app and start swiping and starting a conversation.
And just having like this ADD.
Exactly. And it's so easy to do the exact same thing of getting off the app and not talking to that person again. To me, it's, if you're going to date on apps, be prepared to be constantly ghosted because people are doing it while they're watching Netflix and they're going to stop talking to you when their show's back on or something. Yeah,
or they're
going to
go on as many dates with as many people until they find one that they like a little bit more. And then they're going to be like, okay, these B-side are just going to like kind of roll away. Like it's all a part, unfortunately, of like the dating process in the modern world, which is a lot of people have a lot of people going on at once.
Yeah. And I feel your pain though, because I have been ghosted so many fucking times and it sucks. I mean, we were reading the breakup text. It fucking sucks, but it's better when you are communicative.
And be honest. It is so much better to be told even a lie of like, I actually started dating my ex-wife's again.
Well, I've been told, hey, I didn't feel anything, which is, I would say, way worse. But you know what? In the
end, I do want to be lied to.
Yeah. I don't. I actually like when people are like, I didn't feel anything or I didn't see a spark there. It hurts more in the present. But afterward, I'm like, that was great. Great breakup text.
But you're going to, at some point there is, there's sometimes there's no explanation needed.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah, you just got to keep your head up. The fucking Sarah of it all. Ghosted by three different Sarahs is so funny to me. Wow.
So this week we did the movie So My Grandma's a Lesbian.
Yes, it is on Netflix. It came out. It was recently released on Netflix. Here's the log line.
Yes, hit me with it.
A promising young lawyer sees her plans to wed into an important and ultra conservative family in danger when her grandma decides to marry her girlfriend.
Yeah.
This movie is in Espanol.
That's true.
And I'll tell you what.
It's in both. There's English and Spanish in it.
Yeah.
It's a romance comedy clocking in at an hour 34. So it's a quick movie, but it feels long. I'll tell you what.
You know what?
It felt long.
It did feel long.
Yeah. I
had normally, by the way, I would have used to say I have a hard time kind of like clocking into foreign movies that like aren't in English because I'm a slow reader.
Yeah.
However,
I
don't think that's true anymore ever since watching The Handmaiden, which is a like 3.5 hour long, like Korean foreign film that
we
reviewed
love.
On the podcast. And I was fully entrenched
really
balls to
one.
The wall in that movie.
So our protagonist is Eva.
Yeah.
I would say protagonist, but I don't think she really is the protagonist. She's the character we're following.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say Celia and Sophia, the two grandmas, the mom and the grandma who are in a relationship together are our real protagonists. They are the heroes of the story.
And I would say that we were following it through the eyes of Eva.
Yeah.
Because she's the one who is like, I'm getting married to this like Scotsman.
Yeah.
And like, oh no, I can't have my main character moment because my B character grandma is getting married to a woman. But I would also agree that the grandmas are the heart and soul of the movie.
Yes. And they are in fact, I would say the only part I care about.
1000%. I would actually argue to say that the only watchable or good scene in this movie is when the grandma is on the beach and her daughter, so not the granddaughter.
Yeah.
The daughter asks.
Eva's mom.
Says, when did you know you were in love?
Mm-hmm.
With Sophia.
Yeah.
And when she kind of describes their
falling in love as
love
a kid.
Story.
Yeah.
And that she's like, I think I've always loved her.
Yeah.
And she goes back to how, you know, they kissed when they were kids and then she got hit and their mom freaked out. And then, you know, years later they met back up after her husband had died and she took care of her and nursed her back to health and that she's always been in love with her. That scene was so beautiful and gave me chills because I don't know any old queer people.
Yeah.
I like don't. That's something that I like very much wish that I had, and I like yearn for this like older, like kind of guiding grandmother figure that can tell me about like these queer experiences that they had throughout their life and how things have changed so much. So that was like a very beautiful moment mm-hmm. to watch that I wish I had. The rest of the movie, unwatchable.
It's pretty, you know what? I think it is shot really well. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Editing's a little weird, but the two women that are a couple in this movie really do carry the film.
Yeah, they're really sweet.
And that woman, Celia, who was played by Rosa Maria Sarda,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, she passed away in June of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she is my favorite part of this movie by yeah. far.
She's really sweet, and it's nice to watch. I don't think... the movie's a rom-com, but yeah. they weren't like... You know, sometimes gay people are... They're like jokey gay.
Yeah.
I felt like they were... sweet.
It was so down to earth.
Yeah, they were really grounded as a couple.
Yeah.
And we don't really get, and then a kind of a wacky movie. Mm-hmm. So we don't normally get to see like old lesbians ever.
It was really nice.
Yeah, they were like very endearing to watch.
They
felt true to me.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. That being said, her son, Jorge, who also is in this now love triangle with Eva and her Scotman. He comes in and he wants to take his mother to the neurologist because he thinks that she's losing her mind because she wants to get married to a woman
mm-hmm.
and she's talking to the Pope. So we have a couple different forms of almost homophobia in this movie. This movie, I couldn't tell for, I would say 3/4 of the movie, if it was homophobic or not.
Yeah.
It was right on the line of this is not okay in 2021 mm-hmm. or 2019 when it came out. Because the driving force of this movie is all these kids are getting together to try and stop the wedding.
Yeah.
A gay wedding.
Right. Which feels weird.
It feels wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie, I really was like, I don't like it because the tone is gray for most of the movie.
The tone is gray and it focuses on this like very annoying granddaughter who just wants to get married to like a rich Scotsman for the sake of like the namesake of this like fancy family.
Yeah.
So that's not a likable character or like righteous storyline.
No. So we're following her trying to sabotage her grandmother's wedding.
Right. Which we just want to live in the world where this grandma is getting married. And it is just like, it's so beautiful to watch. Like this couple be like, it's our time.
Yeah.
You know, like we've been closeted for so long. We've been together this whole time and like fuck everything else. And it is really strange to watch the younger generation be like, wait, no, the town's going to be weird about it.
Yeah, people are going to talk.
Because we don't want to see that.
Yeah.
And that also doesn't seem like, it's not a fun world to live in. And it is also like, it doesn't feel true either. I'm
exactly.
like, I don't know.
Yeah, but they did have a very diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
I did love that part. It was written and directed by a woman.
Ew, seriously?
Yeah, kind of gross.
I didn't know women could.
So there were some things that I did like about it, but overall, I thought this kind of missed the mark.
And once again, like I was really looking forward to like this modern rom-com. Like it's billed as a rom-com. It looks like a goofy, funny. The name is really funny.
I mean, it's definitely goofy.
It's
I'll tell you what.
It's goofy, yeah, but like it's lighthearted in tone,
mm-hmm.
but is it funny? No, it's
no.
not funny. There's no like...
There was no laughs.
I'm not laughing and there's no real like... comedic character aspect, you know?
Yeah. And
the tone is comedy, but there's no jokes in it.
No, and I did have a problem with how they portrayed the autistic or the cousin with the learning disability.
Yeah.
I thought that was very strange
because
mm-hmm. they never really talk about it and they kind of just have her being wacky in the background.
Yeah.
And like sometimes picking her nose or having to shit, which I was like, this is offensive.
Right.
So there were a lot of things that I disliked about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you take all the scenes with Celia and Sophia, the two women, and
made that into a supercut.
If you did a short film with 15 minutes of their scenes, I would have fucking loved it.
I agree. This movie was bad and almost unwatchable, but there is not a lot of that where I felt like, I mean, have
it
we
was,
seen?
No, and it was heartwarming.
Yes.
Like when I was watching it, I was like, I could live in this world for a long time.
And it was beautiful. There was like next to an ocean.
Yeah. No, well, they're in Spain.
España.
And it was, oh, man. Yeah. This movie's
You know what a movie
tough.
I want to watch was what? Their, just their love story.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Because that is, I'm like really yearning. I'm like, I want that.
Yeah, when they were like almost about to dance in the kitchen together while they were preparing, and then the granddaughter comes in and they have to like not be together. It's frustrating. This movie's frustrating because there is a nugget of gold there with the two women, and then it's just blown pieces.
And this happens a lot with queer movies, is we get it through the straight point of view, right, unfortunately.
That's what this
was. And I don't know why they did that, because this movie is billed as a LGBTQ rom-com, and it's 2019. But once again, it is like, and it's even called, so my grandma's a lesbian. We have lesbian in the title. It is, for me at least, because my algorithm knows I'm a lesbian, it's shown to me as like, here comes your next lesbian rom-com. And it is told through the point of view of like this straight protagonist first for no reason.
And then we get to see her love story, which nobody gives a fuck about.
We're not watching it for you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that whole love story with their grandchildren falling in love, like so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And like, it is the classic bait and switch where we're baited with this lesbian love story. And what we actually get
is
the straight love story through the straight lens of them in a straight, like, you know, community.
Trying to stop a gay wedding. Like the whole thing is, it's homophobic in a way.
It's a bait and switch. And it's disguised as a rom-com, but it comes across as kind of sad and meaningless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. How many gloves would you give it?
One.
I agree. I think I'm going to give it one, too. I do wish that we just saw the two grandmas falling in love.
100%.
I could watch that till I'm a grandma falling in love, you know?
Oh, my God. You've been a grandma falling in love for years.
Yeah. Ray, what movie do we have next week?
Okay, so this is a little strange.
Okay.
But
I'm here for it already.
There is this short documentary on Hulu, and it's called In and of Itself.
All right.
All I know, because I was told specifically to not look up a trailer, is that it has magic and lesbians in it. And it's been recommended to me by several people as being very good.
Okay.
So we're going to review it. I don't think it's going to be like a normal review where there's like a narrative and stuff, but it has magic and lesbians. And those are two things that I fucking love.
I love that so much.
All right. So it's called In and of Itself, and it's on Hulu.
And next week, I am going to give you a book review of Middlesex. So I know I teased it a long time ago, but I'm going to do another review of it.
I love that. I know I teased it a long time ago, but I
didn't do it.
A slow reader.
Yeah.
I didn't never did it. Okay. Hell yeah. I love you. I love this episode.
You too.
And I will meet you in the bedroom for our every time we record, we have sex.
Right after.
Like we always do.
Yeah. Right after.
Cool.
Fatty's Only Fitness.
Woo! I'm Rachel Scanlon.
I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
Go do something gay today.
We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin. Rachel Scanlon. Worldwide Dykes for